Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
This is the title of my message today that I'm praying in Jesus' name will really encourage you, shake off, that you'd be able to shake off whatever is troubling you right now and to concentrate for a moment. Let God build your life for a moment. Let God build your, don't be distracted by the things of this world. You know, sometimes the things of this world are negative, sometimes they're positive. Either one of them are no good because God wants us to not be distracted by his word. So why don't you bow your head with me and we'll pray. Father God, I thank you for every person here. Lord, you've got a plan, a purpose for every one of us. And Lord God, I pray today's message will help us cement your truth in our life. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I want to preach this morning. I want to speak to you on the subject of going from good to great. Going from good to great. Jim Collins wrote a book, From Good to Great, about companies that go from being a good company to a great company. I want to talk about your life going from good to great. You know, you can have a good life doing it on your own. But you can have a great life doing it together with someone else. You know, you can be good all by yourself. There's no doubt about it. I'm not going to for one moment try and convince you that if you try and do life alone, I'm not going to tell you that you can't build a good life. It's going to be good. But we're not talking about that today. We're talking about building a great life. And if you want to build a great life, I want to tell you right now, the Word of God and this man up on this stage is telling you, you cannot build a great life on your own. Doing life on your own will never build a great life. And you may be strong enough, tough enough, smart enough to do life on your own to fulfill the plan that you've got for your life. But if you want to fulfill the plan that God's got for your life, you have to do it with others. And that's the absolute truth. We need people to fulfill God's plan for our life. When Helen and I started Lifehouse with a group of people, there it is right there. We didn't decide that we wanted to build a church and just build it on our own. Hey, listen, you can build a good church doing everything yourself. You know, as I don't know whether you think I can or I can't, but I think I can sing. I can sing. I can actually play a couple of instruments. I won't show you right now. We've taken up too much time doing everything else. And I think I can preach, and I think I can pastor people, and there's a whole lot of things that I can do. And I think if I was to do every single one of those things, which when we first started, I had to, and I did do a lot of that. You've seen some of the very ugly photos where I've been stung by 1,000 bees. You'll see that what Helen and I were quickly working out was we can build a good church if I do everything myself. But how many of you know that a church wouldn't be this size and doing what we're doing around the world if we decided to do it all by ourselves? What we worked out was God's got a plan for this church, and if you're going to do it God's way, then you need to welcome others into the plan. And when you welcome others into the plan, then you can quickly become what God has called you to be, which is great. God doesn't want you to just build a good life. I go to a gym called Good Life. Every time I go in there, I'm a little bit reluctant because I don't just want a good life. I want a great life. Someone needs to start a gym called Great Life. I will quickly swipe over when it's called Great Life, because good life is okay. It's good. But I want great. Do you want good coffee or do you want great coffee? Do you want a good wife? Do you want a great wife? Do you want a good car? Do you want a great car? Come on, let's be honest. Of course we want a great life. So how are we going to achieve this? Well, let me tell you right now, you've got to start opening up your life and start thinking to yourself, who can I do life with together? Because if we're going to do this alone, I understand why we tend to do it alone, because we are hurt. We've tried to do it together with people sometimes and we've ended up being hurt. Friends, the reason that you got hurt is because the enemy knows the power of together. And so what he's trying to do is to stop you from doing life together. He despises it. But God says that he loves it. And by the way, when it comes to the team that has helped to build this magnificent church, can I tell you what pastors around our state and our country are saying about our church? When they compliment our church, I've got to be completely honest about this. When they compliment our church, they very rarely compliment the preaching off the platform. They very rarely compliment the worship, as good as it is. They very rarely compliment that. Let me tell you what people compliment over and over and over again is the spirit of the teams of this church. The spirit of the teams of this church. And to me, that's the greatest compliment, because it's not just about me, it's about us. We had two young guys from our church, from our worship team, who went to help out a church that was opening up for the first time, or, you know, like a celebration service yesterday. And people coming up to me the whole night that I was there. Pastor Richard, I just got to tell you, those two guys that you sent, what a credit they are to your church. What a credit, what a spirit they carry. What an honoring spirit. They're just here to help. It's not about them. Nothing was too hard. What a great team that this church is. Amen. And that's how we're going to build a great church. Not just on great preaching, which I would hope would always be the case. But that's, funny enough, not how you build a great church. It's great teams. Recently, a pastor who's got a church about 20 minutes away from here, he's doing phenomenally well, really, really well. And he came and sat down with me and he said, Pastor Rich, could you please be my mentor? I love what's going on in your church. Sure, no problem. What's your first question? His first question, how do you build a team like you've got at Lifehouse? God is up to something. Do you know, when I hear those words, I think, ooh, we must be transitioning from being a good church to a great church. Amen? A great church. And this is what we're going to do. And you know what? Nature teaches us this. You know, when birds, have you ever seen birds flying in a V formation? Have you ever wondered why they fly in a V formation? You know, when birds fly that way, some things happen. Some thrust is created by the first bird, which leads to the second birds, or the next row, and then the third row, and the fourth, and it leads on. When they fly, listen to this, when birds fly like that, they fly further and they fly faster, and listen, they are 40% more efficient. 40%. What if one of those birds says, you know what, I'm sick of doing this together thing. I want to do my own thing. Well, go ahead and do that, but you won't go as far, you won't go as fast, and you're going to burn out at some stage, because you need people. We are built to do life together. Amen? Amen? Come on. We need to realize that the person sitting beside you is the wind beneath your wings. You need to tell them that right now. You may need to sing it to them even. You may need to sing it. You are the wind. I'm going to say this again. There is no doubt you can build a good life on your own. I'm not going to take that away from you. That would be lying to you. You may have a huge capacity, and you may be able to build a good life just doing it on your own. Stay to yourself. Don't talk to anybody. Don't go anywhere. Don't be a part of anything. You can still build a good life. It's not the plan that God has for you. Once again, let me show you why. Those of you who go running, does anyone go running? Anyone go riding? Anyone do any sort of sport like that together? You know, you can go running on your own, and often I have to go running on my own because there's just no one else that wants to come with me. But let me tell you something. It amazes me that when I, a route that I choose to run around, by the time I'm coming around that last corner, I am just finished. I am gone. There is nothing left in the tank except when I go running with somebody else. Because while they've still got some energy in the tank and they come around that corner with lots of energy, the Lebanese pride kicks in. And there's no way that I'm going to do the whole, oh, you go. I'm not doing that. So I'm going to go, yeah, I'm fine. On the inside, I'm dying. I just want to stop. Every step is like murder. But I'm not going to let you know that. And guess what? You're feeling the exact same way. And you're like, I'm not going to let this little guy beat me around that corner. And you know what? You know what happens? You may think it's unhealthy competition. Who cares? As long as we go further, faster, and we're all getting healthier. Amen? We need some good people in our lives. We need it, friends. Have a look at what Ecclesiastes 4:9, verse 9 says. It says, two people are better off than one. Why? For they can help each other succeed. Does anybody want to succeed in life? Does anybody want to do well in business? Does anybody want to do well in being a mum or being a father? Of course we all want to do well. Well, how do we do that? The Bible is telling us two are better than one. Doing this on your own. And for a lot of the time we read this as, oh, you've got to have a partner in your life. No, you can have another person of the same gender in the same stage of life. But two are better than one because they help each other succeed. That's why so many people in this room are a part of a life group. That's why. Some of you, why would you go to life group and take up a Wednesday night? Because we're flying in V formation. Because we actually want to go further, faster. We want God to make our lives great. That's why we do it. It's not like we've got nothing better to do except that we are determined to go forward in our life. Amen. I mean, sorry, this is one of those churches where we just actually believe that God's got something for you, and if you don't do it, we don't believe anyone else can. Because of your history, the way you speak, your experiences, your knowledge, there are some things that God needs you to do. That's why I say to you, every single one of you have got a call from God. Do you know, there's no doubt about it. There is something about this together thing. There's something about this together thing. Do you know, when we come into this room and we come together, there is an atmosphere that you could stay at home in your bedroom all day and night and it would not achieve the same atmosphere as when you come together. There's a man that's recently joined our church, he and his family. And he comes up to me and he says, it hasn't happened yet. Hasn't happened yet. I'm like, what? What hasn't happened yet? It hasn't happened yet. I haven't been able to come to church and sit through a service without crying. Wow. It hasn't happened yet. He goes, I'm waiting for it to wear off. He goes, it hasn't happened yet. And it got me thinking, wow, that's amazing. Do you know what this building used to be? It used to be a freight forwarding company. Do you think the people that used to work here before, do you think they used to walk in crying their eyes out every single weekend? No, Ruth, do you think they used to walk? I just don't know what it is, boss. Every time I get in this building, I just cry. It makes me think about my life. Do you think that's what happened? I think there was a lot of blasphemy going on, a lot of swearing, a lot of carrying, a lot of stealing going on around here. I don't think there was crying going on. What's the difference? Same walls, same everything. What's the difference? Let me tell you what the difference is. Together. When we come together, Jesus said, when two or three people come together, Jesus says, I'm there in the midst of them. That's why we believe in that together. Hey, listen, Jesus said two or three. Imagine when you've got 200 or 300 of people coming together, what's going to happen? Imagine when you've got 2,000 or 3,000. Amen. Come on, let's keep believing God. Amen. Come on, every single one of you need to start thinking right now. Who am I doing life with? Am I doing this thing alone? Hey, you're going to do good. I speak that over your life. I don't speak any judgment. I don't speak condemnation. I speak good over your life. But the Word of God says, if you're going to do it with other people, you're going to be great. Yeah. Amen. Some of you may be happy with good. I haven't met anyone yet that would say that. Do you know, God said to Adam, one of the first things he said to him was, it's not good that man should be alone. God said that. Not Pastor Richard, not your mum or dad. God said to Adam, it's not good that you're alone. Do you know what God is saying? I have built you to have petrol inside you. You know, when a Porsche is built, it needs petrol. And if a Porsche came out of a factory with no petrol, the general manager would say, it's not good for you to be alone. You need some petrol to get this thing going. And so God gave him a magnificent woman, intelligent, smart, good looking. That's why she's called woman. When he saw her, he goes, whoa, man. Some of you didn't know that, but that's why he, it's an old one, but it always works still. But that's what happened. So God said you need someone to do life with. Have you ever thought about this? Listen to this. We are so built for connection. We are so built for togetherness. Listen to this. If you end up in jail for some reason, I pray you never do. Do you know one of the highest forms of punishment in the prison system is what they call solitary confinement? Can you believe that? Hey, let's really punish this guy. Let's really make his life tough because he's been very bad. He's got bad behavior. Let's put him all by himself. And you know what? It is punishment. Psychologists are working out that in isolation, people begin to hallucinate. They begin to imagine things. They start to become self-condemning. It's not a great place to be, friends. And listen, people are put there unwillingly. Why would you put yourself there willingly? Why would you create your own solitary confinement? Why would you do that to yourself? If no one is putting you into solitary, why would you do it to yourself? Hey, come on, let's wake up. The enemy is trying to drive us into solitary confinement. We've got to break out of that and say, listen, I have been hurt. Things haven't gone as well as I would have planned, but I'm not going to put myself in solitary confinement. I'm going to love people. I'm going to allow them into my life because I want my life to be great. Amen. I'm going to go fishing on my own. Great, go fishing on your own. And you might catch some good fish. But you know, when you go out together, something happens. It doesn't become about the fish anymore. Now it's about the conversations. Now about, hey, listen, what's going on in your marriage or what's going on with your workplace? All of a sudden, that experience becomes great. That's what God has called us to. You know, with my children, we used to have different forms of punishment. And we always thought that the stick was the highest authority. Like if they copped the stick on the swim, by the way, we used to do that. Take me to jail. My kids are sitting around talking about that all day and night. They can't get over the fact that we disciplined them. No, that's not happening at all. My kids are very thankful that we actually disciplined them, to be quite honest. Parents, pay attention to what the Word of God says. Seriously. Because I would rather discipline my own kids rather than the government doing it for me. Amen? And so my children, when they were out of control, we used to have different levels of punishment. And the ultimate punishment was a little bit of a boop-a-de-boom on the behind, right? Well, funny enough, Stephanie, she could cop that thing day and night and it wouldn't change her behaviour. Sarah would just look at it and go, you're not, are you? Mark would just see that thing and run for his life, right? But Stephanie, she could cop it all day like that. Just stand there. Yeah, come on, give us another one. Yeah, yeah. But you know what? Listen to this. Well, you know what we worked out? Let's try something different. So we said, okay, you got to go sit on the couch, listen to it, by yourself. And wow, it changed her life. No! Stop doing what you're... Okay, I promise. She didn't need that. She just needed solitary confinement. So it does work. What I'm saying to you guys is, why would you do it to yourself? Like, we put that on her. We made her do that. Don't do it to yourself, friends. Amen? Come on, get out there. Do you know, some of you have gone hiking, base camp, Mount Everest. You guys are such adventurers. I would never do that in a million years. But some of you have done it. But this is something that I've learned. You know, when they go hiking up into the snow, as they're walking along, the hikers tie themselves together. Have you ever seen this? You'll see a picture over here. Have you ever seen them do that? Have you ever seen that they've got these ropes together? Have you ever wondered why they do it? It's not that they're not dogs on a leash. They don't do that. Some people think they did it because of snowstorms. Hey, maybe that's the case too. But there's a particular reason why they do that. Because as they're walking along, sometimes what happens is after the first person crosses a certain area of snow, and then the second person, by the time the third person crosses that same spot, a crevice opens up. And some of these crevices are more than 90 meters deep. And I'll show you what I mean. Have a look at the next picture. So she's walking along, the crevice opens up, and she falls straight in. But did you notice that she hasn't fallen 90 meters? Why hasn't she fallen? Because she's tied to a rope which is attached to some people on one side of the crevice and some people on the other side of the crevice. Are you hearing this? And these guys have worked out that sometimes these crevices open up, you can't see them. I don't think she saw that thing and went, oh, I'm just going to walk into this. She was walking on what was flat ground and it just gave way because of the weight. But she was able to be rescued. Have a look at the next picture. Look at that guy. How many of you are hoping he doesn't give way? But I get the feeling if you look at the rope, there's another person and then another person and then another person. Friends, in life, as we are walking and we're doing life and all of a sudden you walk across the crevice of I've just lost my job or you're walking across the crevice of my health or my children aren't working out, you need some great people that can stop you from falling over the crevice and saying, come on, get out of this. Come on, let's pull you up out of this. Every single one of us need this. You know what I love about Forever Youth? I come in here sometimes, I see all these young people. Do you know what they don't even realize that they are doing for each other at that age? They are tying ropes around each other. How do I know that? Because now I'm looking at our young adults. And I'm looking at the young adults that did that when they were younger. And as they're walking and as they're coming along and people are offering them ice, the crevice of ice, I can see all the other young adults going, whoa, come on, don't go down that road. How do I know? Because I see them do it. But I pity the person that doesn't have any rope tied around them and they're just open to whatever the world wants to bring into your world. That's not the plan of God. God wants your life to go from good to great. How do you do that? Get anchored around some great people. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout. This is important. This is what God's got for our lives. Parents, this is why you'd get your kids to church. This is why you would get your kids to youth. This is why you would get them into young adults. Oh, but I've done that and it still didn't work out. No, imagine where they would be if they didn't do any of that. Have you ever thought about that for a moment? Have you ever thought about that for a moment? What if you didn't do the things that you thought you had done and it still didn't work out right? By the way, the game's not over. It's funny how we've already come to our judgment of what we think's going to happen. Hey, listen, the day's not done yet. Come on, let's keep giving God a chance. But imagine we didn't do all those things. So I do believe the rope is there. Some of them are just hanging in the crevice because they want to be in the crevice. But what they don't know is the others aren't letting go. It's like you can have fun there. How's it going down there in the crevice? Yeah, it's great, man. It's awesome. Bit cold? Yeah, a little. Bit lonely? Yeah. It's not as much fun as I thought it was going to be. Well, when you're ready, we'll pull you back up. Amen? When you're ready, we'll pull you back up. Give someone a high five and say, let's pull them back up. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Let me ask you a question. If you were to fall right now in some area of your life, who would help you? Oh, my wife would help me. Yeah, but what if the situation involved both of you? What other couple are you tied to that could pull you out of where you're going? Do you know when you're having a marriage crisis, your partner isn't the person necessarily to fix it. Sometimes you need an outside source because now you're both in the crevice. Are you hearing me? So what couple have you got that are pulling you out of there? Oh, I'll wait till that happens. How? While you're falling 90 meters? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Come on, who's the couple that would help you out? Who's the couple that you could ring up and say, hey, listen, we're in some serious trouble. Oh, I know who it is, Pastor Rich, you. Well, good luck with that while I'm in Poland somewhere. Yeah, that's very good. And you know what? The advice you need doesn't need to come all the way from me. You just need a good friend that actually loves you both. Amen? You just need a good friend that actually cares about you. You don't need Pastor Rich all the time. Hey, I'm happy to do it if I can. But that's not what you actually need. You need some people that can help you up all the time. Is anyone hearing what I'm saying? Friends, the storms of life are going to come. I'm going to say that again. The storms of life are going to come. There is nothing in the Gospels that says you're going to have a trouble-free life. I'm going to say that again. There is nothing in the Gospels that says you will have a trouble-free life. If you want that, join some other religion or something. But as far as I can tell, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Jesus gave us an illustration of two houses. One was built on a good foundation. One was built on sand. But listen, they both went through the storm. Jesus wasn't saying that this house is storm-proof in the sense that it doesn't go through storms. Now, Jesus is saying you're going to go through it, but you're going to get through it. Amen? We're going to go through some troubled times, friends. There's going to be trouble. But God just wants us to be surrounded by the right people. There's a guy in our church. I love him dearly. He's got some serious health stuff going on. He's going to be going in for an operation soon. But when it first happened, we heard from his wife, such and such is, he's in hospital. Well, the great news is that this particular person, I'm one of the people that he's tied to. So I'm straight down to the hospital. Well, lo and behold, we get down there. So is that guy. So is that girl. There's so many people in the, you can't even get in. And I'm thinking, why? Because he goes to a great life group. And everyone found out, they all love him. Why do I want you guys in a life group? So that when something happens, a crevice opens up, there's so many people trying to pull you up. Meals are getting delivered to the family. People are dropping envelopes of money anonymously into their... Are you hearing that? Now, it turns out it was all fake. He just wanted the money and the food. No, it's not true. And it's not true. But are you hearing what I'm saying? Why wouldn't I, as a pastor, want every person in this room to have the same? How devastating it is when I hear about somebody in hospital and I think, who's been there? And they go, no one, because she fell through the cracks. What? How? Oh, she doesn't go to life group. She hardly comes to church. She doesn't have anyone that she's tied to. Are you hearing what I'm saying, friends? Come on. We've got to make a decision. Have a look at what it says in Ecclesiastes 4:12. It says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And have a look at what it says next. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Are you hearing what the Word of God is saying? The Word of God is saying, come up here for a minute, Toms. Just come up here for a minute. How many of you love Toms? Give him a huge round of applause. Come on. The Bible is saying that I can be good mates with this guy, sort of just nice mates, and we could be doing life alone, but when an enemy comes, we both got to fight the enemy. So get your sword out, Thompson. Let's fight the enemy. So we're fighting the enemy. He's fighting. That's a really bad fight that you're fighting, right? Right? So we're both fighting the enemy, okay? But there's only one problem. As we're both looking that way, someone can attack us from behind, and we're both gone, right? The Bible is saying, when you're actually attached to people, you're doing life this way, right? And so now, Thompson, we're going to go your way for a moment. So now we're going, so Thompson's, and I'm like this. Now we're coming my way, Toms. Come on. Fight, Toms. Fight. Fight for me. He'd be terrible. Get out of here, mate. I need a better friend. Can someone be a better friend to me? He's a great friend. You know, it's funny that I actually picked Jonathan out because this is exactly what he does. It's exactly what Kim do. They are people that are making sure that they are people that are holding on to others, but they themselves are being held on to. Who are the people? Who are the people in your world? Who has God aligned you with? Do you know they've worked out with trees? I've got a couple of minutes left. Can I give you just a couple more points? Do you know they've worked out with trees? Scientists have worked out that in some forests, they don't quite understand how a tree that is completely shadowing another tree of the same species, how that tree keeps growing because it doesn't get the sunlight that it needs. So it can't do the whole photosynthesis. Did I say it right? Process. And so they've worked out, how does that happen? How does this tree grow when it's not getting any sunlight? And as they've looked deeper, some of you know this, right? As they've looked deeper, what they've discovered is there is a fungus that attaches from one tree's roots to another tree's roots. And when this guy's getting sunlight and this guy's not, this guy passes the sunlight energy into that tree. Wow. When this guy's getting water, though, because he's in a more damp place and this guy's starving, thirsty for water, you know, this guy's able to pass on the water through the root system so that he lives. How you going, trees? Because that's the plan that God's got for our church. When you're doing really well and I'm feeling a bit down, I need some of your energy. I need some of your encouragement. I need some of your food. I need some of your time. I need you. But you know what? Tomorrow, you don't know what tomorrow holds. All of a sudden, you're feeling a bit down, but I'm feeling up. And now I can give you some of the energy. Amen? That's how God has designed nature. Why wouldn't he design his church in the exact same way? Except that, let me tell you what happens. I don't want to hang out with that tree. No, don't touch my roots. I haven't got time, man, to get my roots down deep and stuff. No, I'm just doing life alone. And guess what? The storms of life come and down goes your tree. I don't want to see that for any one of you. Is that okay? I want your life to go from good to great. You can do life good. I want to see you do life great. Is this all right, guys? Oh, man, I got a lot to say. How much time? Can I just take a couple more moments? This next one is really important. Yeah, can I really? Okay. I know that most of you are connected to good people. And most of you would say, Pastor, it's a great message, but I'm already connected. Okay, I just want to challenge this aspect. Who are you connected to, though? Because I'm not just telling you to be connected. I'm telling you to get connected to the right people. Has anyone ever heard of the crab mentality? Let me tell you what the crab mentality is. If you go grab a whole lot of crabs and put all those crabs into a bucket, and the rim is not very high, so the crab could easily just put his claw over and hop out, and that's what they often want to do. Except what actually happens, it's called the principle, the crab principle. What happens is, when one crab is trying to get out, do you know what the other crabs do? They grab him and they drag him back into the bucket. Right? And then another one tries, and then they grab him. Do you know, if you are that crab, because they've actually got video footage of this, one crab was trying to do it over and over again. Do you know what the other crabs did? They cut off his claws. Don't get out of the bucket. Stop trying to change your life. Stop going to church and becoming a religious nitty-gritty, goody, chewy, shooey, bitty Ned Flanders. Stop it! And you know what? You're trying to be the crab that I want a new life. I want something different for my life. I want to have a great relationship. I want to get out of my addiction. What do you mean? What? Are you too good for us now? Hey, listen, get away from the crabs. Get away from the crabs that are trying to pull you back into that bucket. Some of us, we are those crabs. When one of your best mates is trying to lose some weight, come on, man, you don't need to lose weight. You look great. The guy's 15 kilos over. He's about to have a heart attack and die. And you're telling him to stop it. No, help them. Help them get out of the bucket. Push them out of the bucket. There may be somebody to help you out of the bucket and we can all change our lives. Amen. Come on, let's not be crabs that are pulling people back in all the time. I don't want you. Oh, you can't move too far ahead of me. Get some good friends in your life. Come on, Lifehouse Church wants to be a church that pushes you out of the bucket. Go get something different. Grow. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, friends, don't be misled. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Hey, you know what? You can always do this with the Word of God. You can always work backwards. So do you know what that also tells me? Good company is going to destroy bad character. You know, if you've got some things, some habits going on in your life, hang out with some great people. You'll start to find that those chains just seem to fall off. You'll start to grow. If bad company can corrupt good character, I honestly believe that good company can corrupt bad character. Amen. Get into a great life group. Get into a great church. If this is, you're just visiting and maybe you can't come to Lifehouse, I think Lifehouse is a great church. But if you can't be, go find another great church you can be a part of. But get involved. And let God do something in your spirit and grow together. Amen. Amen. I agree, bro. Give someone a high five. Come on. Can I give you one last scripture? Here it is. You should never do this. I always teach my preachers, don't leave them with a scripture, but I am going to do it. I'm going to do it right now. Hebrews 10:25. It says, let us not neglect our meeting together. Don't neglect the meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Okay, newsflash, are you ready? You came to a positive morning, but this is the reality. If you're expecting the world to get better, I've got a bit of a newsflash for you. That's not what the Bible says is going to happen. I know we would love that to happen, wouldn't we? There is going to be a day when Jesus will return and the world will be at its peak. You know, there are more world wars going on right now than there have ever been in the history of the world. Civil wars, you know what I mean by that? Wars that are going on around our world, not world wars, but wars that are going on around our world. There's more today than there has ever been. Friends, I'm not saying this to be negative, but if we're expecting this world to sort of get better and better and better, it's actually not the truth. Don't get depressed. Don't have anxiety about it. All it means is this. Who are you attached to as the darkness comes? Because we'll get through it as long as we're attached to the right people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God's got a big plan for your lives, guys, and He wants to see you attached to the right people. So come on, I want you to stand with me. I want you to stand. Let me be highly practical with you. Are you ready? Some of you are saying, it sounds great, Pastor Rich. Sounds great. Okay, I'm committed. All right, I want to do life together with people. And then you'll walk out these doors and all of a sudden the memories of being close to someone and the pain of that will come flooding back. Some best friend that has hurt you. The things that have gone on in relationships, do you know what they create? They create barriers, friend. And the first thing that needs to happen from the front to the very back, side to side, every person in this place, is we've got to say, God, I'm open. I'm open to being connected together. I'm going to let my roots go down deep. I'm going to allow that, God, so that you can begin to bring the nutrients in my life. Now listen, for some of you, what that means is God already connected you to the right person, but you've let a little bit of grievance get in the way. You've let a little bit of hurt get in the way, and now you're disconnected from someone that God actually paired you up with. But a little bit of gossip, a little bit of whatever it was, you know what? For some of us, you need to go and repair that so that you can get those nutrients back into your roots. Amen? Are you hearing me? Sometimes this is tough because we've got to be vulnerable. I need you to be vulnerable. so that God can bring all that great stuff into your life. So can we just spend a moment just worshiping God and telling Him how that we're going to praise His name? And as that begins to happen, can you let God do a bit of a surgery inside of you?
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you for listening to the Lifehouse Church podcast. We hope that this has made a difference in your world. Please subscribe, share, and rate this podcast so it can better make a difference in the lives of others.